Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the New Heights Educational Group Talk Show. My name is Kaden Behan, a volunteer for New Heights Educational Group, and this show is our Valentine's Day special. Also here with me is Pamela Clark. Hello, Pamela.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
So today is our Valentine's Day special. So we have a few fun facts about Valentine's Day from yourtango.com, and I would just like to read them out. Number one, hopeless romantic. Valentine's Day is believed to have begun in 270 A.D. when, under the reign of the Roman Emperor Claudius II, Bishop Valentine was jailed for performing weddings against the emperor's wishes. During his time in jail, the Roman Romeo wrote a love note to the jailer's daughter, signing it, "From your Valentine." How romantic. Number two, sweet relief. In the 1800s, doctors commonly advised their heartbroken patients to eat chocolate. They claimed it would soothe their pain. To this day, many women find comfort in a box of chocolate when dealing with heartbreak. That's fun. number three, teacher's pet. Teachers receive the most Valentine's Day cards, followed by children, mothers, wives, and yes, pets. Puppy love. Upwards of 9 million pet owners buy gifts for their canine companions on Valentine's Day. Hey, dogs need love too. I've never heard of that, actually, buying gifts for your animals on Valentine's Day, but certainly enough love to go around.
Right.
Number five, the price of love. Men spend nearly twice as much as women on each Valentine's Day. This year, the average man will spend more than $150 to let that special someone know they're loved. Can be quite expensive.
Aww.
Yeah. That's so cute. And six, lovebirds. It was once said that if a woman saw a robin flying by on Valentine's Day, she was destined to marry a sailor. If she saw a sparrow, she would marry poor but live a happy life with her hubby. Seeing a goldfinch meant that there was a rich man in her future. Anyone see any goldfinches lately? That's interesting. The bird one. We'll have to keep a lookout for the future Valentine's Days to come. So, also for this Valentine's Day special, we'd just like to share with the audience a little bit of historical facts on Valentine's Day and how it came to be. And Pamela will start us off with that.
Yeah, please call in also if anyone has any fun facts or anything interesting they want to share or
fun stories, romantic stories about your Valentine's days. We'd love to hear them.
There you go. Okay, so St. Valentine's Day. Oh, this is from Wikipedia, by the way. St. Valentine's Day, commonly known as Valentine's Day or the Feast of St. Valentine, is observed on February 14th each year. It is celebrated in many countries around the world, although it remains a working day in most of them. St. Valentine's Day began as a literal logical celebration of one or more early Christian saints named Valentinius. The most popular mythology associated with St. Valentine was that he was imprisoned for performing weddings for soldiers who were forbidden to marry and for ministering to Christians who were persecuted under the Roman Empire. During his imprisonment, he said to have healed the daughter of his jailer, Asterus. Legend states that before his execution, he wrote, "From your Valentine," as a farewell to her. Today, St. Valentine's Day is an official feast day. And Angelican, I know I'm saying that wrong. Anglican Communion, sorry, as well as the Lutheran Church. The Eastern Orthodox Church also celebrates St. Valentine's Day, albeit on July 6th and July 30th. The former date in honor of the Roman Presbyterian St. Valentine, and the later date, July 30th, in honor of a hero martyr Valentine, the bishop. And the day was first associated with romantic love in the circle of Geoffrey Chaucer in the High Middle Ages, and when the tradition of courtly love flourished. By the 15th century, it had evolved into an occasion in which lovers expressed their love for each other by presenting flowers, offering confectionery, and sending greetings, known as Valentine's. This was in the 15th century. Valentine's Day symbols that are used today include the heart-shaped outline, doves, and the figure of a winged cupid since the 19th century. Handwritten Valentines were given way to mass-produced greeting cards.
That's very interesting, huh? That he actually was performing weddings. I didn't know that they were legal for the soldiers. So he's definitely the bearer of love, and you can see the connection between the old Valentine's Day and our Valentine's Day. So
yeah, but it's kind of bittersweet, though, because he got
yes. also, a little bit more historical facts on Valentine's Day. Numerous Christian martyrs were named Valentine in honor of Valentine, St. Valentine. The Valentines honored on February 14th are Valentine of Rome and the Valentine of Terni. Valentine of Rome was a priest in Rome who was martyred about 269 AD and was buried in the Via Flamina. The flower-crowned skull of St. Valentine is exhibited in the Basilica of Santa Maria in Cosmedin in Rome. Other relics are found in the Basilica of Santa Prassede, also in Rome, as well as at the White Friar Street Carmelite Church in Dublin, Ireland. Valentine of Terni became Bishop of Interama, modern Terni, about 197 AD, and is said to have been martyred during the prosecution under the Emperor Aurelian. He was also buried in the Via Flamina, but in a different location than Valentine of Rome. His relics are at the Basilica of St. Valentine in Terni. The Catholic Encyclopedia also speaks of the third saint named Valentine, who is mentioned in the early martyrologies under the date of February 14th, and he was martyred in Africa with a number of companions, but not much else is known about this specific Valentine. St. Valentine's head was preserved in the Abbey of the Newminster Winchester and venerated. February 14th is celebrated as St. Valentine's Day in various Christian denominations. It has, for example, the rank of commemoration in the calendar of saints in the Anglican Communion. In addition, the feast day of St. Valentine is also given in the calendar of saints of the Lutheran Church. However, in 1969, revision of the Roman Catholic calendar of saints, the feast day of St. Valentine on February 14th was removed from the general Roman calendar and relegated to particular, local, or even national calendars for the following reasons. Though the memorial of St. Valentine is ancient, it is left to particular calendars since, apart from his name, nothing is known of St. Valentine except that he was buried in the Via Flamina on February 14th. The feast day is celebrated in Balzan, Malta, where relics of the saint are claimed to be found, and also throughout the world by traditionalist Catholics who follow the older pre-Second Vatican Council calendar. St. Valentine's Day in the Eastern Orthodox Church is celebrated on July 6th, in which St. Valentine, the Roman presbyter, is honored. Furthermore, the Eastern Orthodox Church observes the feast of hero martyr Valentine, Bishop of Interama, July 30th. So it seems to be that there are many St. Valentines, not just the one associated with marrying soldiers in Rome. And that's interesting to note that it's also a very important religious holiday in certain Christian denominations. There are also a few legends surrounding St. Valentine, and Pamela will explain on this topic.
Yeah. I still think his head was preserved.
Yeah, next time you're visiting any of these places, you might be able to check out one of the St. Valentines. Pretty cool.
Oh, gosh. That's kind of gross. But
I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's, a skeleton, hopefully not preserved in a ghost.
I know. That's really weird, though, isn't it? I mean, ugh.
Yeah, it's interesting that they would preserve just the head, but,
Yeah. Okay, Bishop Dimitri of the Orthodox Research Institute in a keynote address states that St. Valentine was a priest near Rome in about the year 270 A.D., a time when the church was enduring great persecution. His ministry was to help the Christians to escape this persecution, and to provide them a sacrament such as marriage, which was outlawed by the Roman emperor at that time. Contemporary records of St. Valentine were most probably destroyed during the Diocletianic persecution on early 4th century. In the 5th or 6th century, a work called Passio Mariae et Martia published an invented story of martyrdom for St. Valentine of Rome, probably by borrowing tortures that happened to other saints, as it was usually made in the literature of that period. It states that St. Valentine was persecuted as a Christian and interrogated by Roman Emperor Claudius II in person. Claudius was impressed by Valentine and had a discussion with him, attempting to get him to convert to Roman paganism in order to save his life. Valentine refused and tried to convert Claudius to Christianity instead. Because of this, he was executed. Before his execution, he is reported to have performed a miracle by healing Julia, which we had mentioned earlier, the blind daughter of his jailer, Asterius. The jailer's daughter and his 44-member household, family members and their servants, came to believe in Jesus and were baptized. In addition to this, St. Valentine is said to have performed clandestine Christian weddings for soldiers, which we also mentioned earlier, who were forbidden to marry. The Roman Emperor Claudius II supposedly forbade this in order to grow his army, believing that married men did not make very good soldiers. According to legend, in order to remind them of God's love and to encourage them to remain faithful Christians, St. Valentine is said to have cut hearts from parchment, giving them to soldiers and persecuted Christians. A possible origin of the widespread use of hearts on St. Valentine's Day, a later Passio repeated the legend, adding that Pope Julius I built a church over his sepulchre. It's a confusion with a 4th century tribune called Valentino, who donated land to build a church at a time when Julius was a pope. The legend was picked up as fact by later martyrology, starting by Bede's martyrology in the 8th century. It was repeated in the 13th century in Legendia Aurea. The book expounded briefly the early medieval acta of several St. Valentine, and the legend was assigned to Valentine's Day under February 14th. There is an additional embellishment to the golden legend, which according to Henry Hansger Kelly, was added centuries later and widely repeated. On the evening before Valentine was to be executed, he would have written the first Valentine card himself, addressed to the daughter of his jailer, Asterius, who was no longer blind. Signing as your Valentine, this expression from your Valentine is still used today. This legend has been published by both American Greetings and the History Channel, John Fox, an English historian, as well as the Order of the Carmelites. state that Saint Valentine was buried in the Church of Proxades in Rome, located near the cemetery of Saint Hippolytus. Sorry if I'm butchering any of these words. This order says that, according to legend, Julia herself planted a pink-blossomed almond tree near his grave. Today, the almond tree remains as a symbol of abiding love and friendship. Aww.
Oh, okay. So it seems we've learned quite a lot about St. Valentine's and the legends associated with him. It's actually very interesting because I've never read into the Valentine's Day that we all practice now, and it seems a much more normal holiday for me now, reading about his life and all that he's done for people and for the sake of love. So,
yeah.
Very cute.
Well.
We also have a little bit on Valentine's Day during the medieval period and in English Renaissance, and this is when St. Valentine started to be referenced more in the literature of these times. So using the language of the law courts for the rituals of courtly love, a high court of love was established most likely by Isabel of Bavaria in Paris in 1400. It was founded on the 6th of January, the festivity of a Bavarian Saint Valentin, with the charter of love, with the charter of the court of love. The court dealt with love contracts, betrayals, and violence against women. Judges were selected by women on a basis of poetry reading. It was probably based on poems of Granson and not on the poems of Chaucer. It is possible that the actual court never existed and that it was all an invention of the princess. So this is an interesting little note that there was an actual court of love where this princess would choose men based on how well they were able to produce poetry.
Also, that courtly love was a book. That was an actual story that was very well respected at the time, and actually my husband is a descendant of the author of that. Interesting fact.
Yeah, it is interesting. Also, the earliest surviving Valentine is a 15th century poem written by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife, which commences, I would love to read it, but it is in French, so I would not want to butcher the lovely language of French. But at the time, it was written as the Duke was being held in the Tower of London following his capture at the Battle of Agincourt in 1415. The earliest surviving Valentines in English appear to be those in the Pats and Letters, written in 1477 by Marjorie Bruce to her future husband, John Patson, who she referred to as my right well-beloved Valentine. Valentine's Day is also mentioned briefly by Ophelia in Hamlet, which I'm sure many of the children my age would be familiar with as having to read it during our English curriculum in high school. So I'll just read it once again. Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day. All the morning be time. I am a maid at your window to be your Valentine. Then up he rose and donned his clothes and up the chamber door, let in the maid that out the maid never departed more. And if for those who don't know it, it's by William Shakespeare in Hamlet. Also, John Donne used the legend of marriage of the birds as a standing point for his epithalamion, sorry if I'm butchering that word, celebrated the marriage of Elizabeth, daughter of James I of England, and Frederick the Fifth, Elector Palatine on Valentine's Day. The poem goes as such: Hail Bishop Valentine's, whose day this is, all the air is I think I embarked into more than I can handle with these words from old English, but
I see.
But it's okay. So basically, it's a poem commencing the marriage of his daughter. I'll leave it at that. So
there you
go. Don't embarrass myself. And finally, the poem that we're all very familiar with, created on Valentine's Day in a collection of English nursery rhymes Gammer Gurton's garland in 1784 is, "The rose is red, the violet's blue, the honey is sweet, and so are you. Thou art my love, and I am thine. I drew thee to my valentine. The lot was cast, and then I drew. A fortune said it should be you." So that is the actual version of the poem that we're all very familiar with when we think of Valentine's Day. So that concludes most of the facts about Valentine's Day that we wanted to share today. It was very interesting to reflect upon. I definitely did not know a lot of what we were going over, and it's very cool.
Interesting. Yeah, very. What did you get anything for Valentine's Day?
My father actually, he got me, since I'm going away to college next year, he got me some pillows, and because I want to be a doctor someday, he got me pillows, and they're it's like a funny brand. They're organ-shaped pillows, so they'll have cute little smileys, and they'll be in the shape of a heart. And then he got
awesome.
Me lungs, and he got me a brain. And so they're cute, and they're kind of quirky. And so I thought I got a laugh out of that. They're really cute and funny. And I also got a shower bath kind of set, so for when I go to college, that should be, you know, useful and things like that. Did you get anything fun for Valentine's Day?
Yes, I did. My husband got me some roses and a balloon and a really beautiful card. And our son brought us both a box of chocolates.
Aww.
So, yeah. Nice, huh?
Did you go out or anything? Out to dinner,
yeah.
Celebrate?
Last night we went out to Applebee's.
To what?
Applebee's and a movie. Yeah, we went to see the new Die Hard movie.
Oh, really? I wanted to. My parents have been wanting to see that.
It was great.
Sounds great. I was so happy it came out. It was funny that it came out on Valentine's Day.
I know.
But,
wow.
Great.
So, did you go out, or did you get anyone a Valentine's Day present, like your parents or anything?
I didn't get my parents a Valentine's Day present. Usually my father is the bearer of presents for our family on Valentine's, but we did go out to eat, and that was a lot of fun. I had really great food at a new restaurant that I haven't been to before. Also, school's Valentine's was really fun. Everybody brings in candy and cake and cupcakes, and we have notoriously the highest amount of prom questions that day, so that's where for us seniors, because we have prom coming up, we'll usually have fun ways of asking each other, and the guy will typically come up with an interesting way of asking. So we had a couple during Valentine's Day where one girl was asked out over the speaker, which is really cute. It was funny because it was during homeroom, and they were making the announcements over the loudspeaker, and then at the end, the guy asked her, "Will you go to prom with me?" And she was in my class, and she was making a joke because you can't speak on both sides, so she was making a joke, "Should I just go down the hallway and scream yes because you can't hear me?" He's in the office. So, but he came to the classroom, and we all clapped, and she said yes, and so it was very cute. So we have that going on, and we sometimes have carnations that we'll buy and give out to everybody. So it's generally a really fun and lovely day. Always good, even if you're single.
So what grade are you in now?
I'm in 12th grade.
12th grade, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was 11th or 12th. You keep growing too quick, like my kids did.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that to your parents?
I would stop it if I could. I would stay young forever.
No, you wouldn't. Well, since we have a few minutes, I'd like to try that poem, that crazy one. I want to try to butcher it.
Yes,
let's mind?
Venture
I think it'd be fun. I'm looking at it, and it looks like a challenge, so I want to try it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay,
I believe in you. I think you can do it.
Okay. Okay, forgive me if I screw it up too bad. Hail Bishop Valentine, whose day this is. All the air is thy diocese, and all the chirping choristers and other birds are thy parishioners. Thou marriest every year the lyric lark and the gray I think it's supposed to be gray, but it's, anyways, forget it. Whispering, thou, the sparrow that neglects his wife or love, the household bird with red stomacher. Thou makest the blackbird feed as soon as doeth the goldfinch or the holiken. The husband cock looks out and soon is fed and meets his wife, which brings her feather bed. This day more cheerfully than ever shine, this day which might inflame thyself, old Valentine, by John Doane.
I think you did a wonderful job, especially considering I had great
difficulty. I was scared.
But,
I could do that. That's worth reading.
It was cute. It was a cute poem, and we see the bird references, the different references that we had talked about before in the legends. So that's interesting.
I think what throws it off is, you know, it's more from the original way that they used to spell things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not our English version, but it's still, you can see our words within it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what intimidates us people.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure we've butchered enough tonight, though. I mean, some of those names earlier, and oh, it's just scary.
Yeah. But it was definitely worth reading. I think I learned a lot from it, and it was fun and cute at the same time to learn about how St. Valentine, you know, helped those who are in love. And
yeah.
I think it makes the holiday all the more meaningful.
Yeah. Well, so next week we're going to discuss ALS,
mm-hmm.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and anyone that wants to talk about that can call in. And we don't know much about it, except we found some facts on it. And we'd love to hear from anybody that does know more about it, but we do want to get through some different things and just give people information and maybe some helpful tips of places that may be able to help them. And
mm-hmm.
we really appreciate everybody listening to the show tonight. Yeah.
And also, just to wrap up, in case, you know, on our last shows, we've mentioned some of these information about Ohio in particular as far as education goes, gearing back towards education. And so I'd like to read just a couple of statistics that we had in case anyone in the audience missed them. It's not a bad thing to share. So I would just like to share that according to a task force report to the State Board of Education in Ohio, each year it is estimated that 40,000 Ohio students drop out of high school, representing approximately one-third of all who begin high school. Also, a new study by the University of Cincinnati Economic Center for Education and Research found that there are nearly 750,000 high school dropouts statewide. Only 47 of every 100 Ohio students, Ohio dropouts are employed, compared to 70 out of 100 high school graduates. Finally, for each would-be dropout that finishes high school, the government saves an estimated $2,240 a year in public assistance costs.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. It is unfortunate when you think about, you know, and a lot of times we can discuss this further in our next show, but just to wrap up, I know that a lot of times that people drop out is because they're not experiencing as good an education as they would like and receiving that encouragement. But hopefully with our, you know, information on education and our encouragement, we can gear more people to be excited for education, to feel encouraged and to, you know, pursue an education and a career in the future.
All right. Thank you, Kaden.
And thank you, Pamela. We'll see you next week.
Yep. Great show.
When I am down when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still.